going to begin reading tonight in verse 19, Luke 16 and 19. If you would like to honor the word of God, you may do so now. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would sendest him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I realize that I came to you yesterday evening very soberly. And I ask for your patience tonight because I've got to warn again tonight. And I need you to help me. From this text tonight, I want to preach a sermon entitled, Listen to the Voice from Hell. Listen to the Voice from Hell. You may be seated. We look at this narrative here that I've read to you. Lots of times through the Gospels, we have recordings of point in time in history that is given that it actually happened and it was a point in time and it was actions that was actually taken. We also have stories in the Gospels that we call parables, which is actually a story that is given to get across the point. In this particular instance, I'm not sure if anybody really knows if that's a point in history or a parable. But we must learn from what Christ is saying. It has painted a picture for us, if you could go with me and look at a very nice home. It's not of someone that has good eating just on the weekends, but it's someone who fares sumptuously every day. The owner of this home, he is described as one that wears purple and fine linen. Now, if you study the derivement of purple, how that there's a certain gland from a certain shellfish that is crushed and produces that dye back in this day. Very costly. He paints a picture in the story of a man whose table is full of food, whose life is at ease. And it looks to be the picture of perfection. It looks like that life is grand and it's great. We could probably go as far as to say outside of this nice home is a border of some kind, some type of fence, some type of wall. But we know for sure that there is a gate. And sitting outside of the gate is the complete contrast of what's on the inside the gate. For yet inside there is plenty. But sitting on the outside the gate is one that we know as Lazarus, who has sores. And not to get too grotesque here, but I want you to understand the gruesomeness of this. Is a man that sits at that gate, that he's not asking for the finest food. He's not asking for the best meal. But he just wants the scraps that comes from the rich man's table. Not only is he striving just to have something to eat, but he's covered with sores. And the dogs come to lick the oozing from the sores. It is complete contrast. It's complete opposites. There's one picture of prosperity. And then there's a picture of destitution. But it's looking at the carnal part. It's looking at the physical. And there comes a day that both Lazarus and the rich man get on level ground, because they both die. And as it is, the rich man is buried. Could have possibly had a funeral. But Lazarus is taken away by the angels and to the bosom of Abraham. I'm so glad that I may not be the richest of the rich and may not have the finest of things. But when it comes to my soul with God, everything can be fixed. It's a haunting story after this point. And it comes with some disturbing thoughts. That sure enough, that rich man, the Bible plainly tells us in hell, he lifts his eyes. And he is able to see past a great gulf. And he's able to see Lazarus comforted. And from this point in scripture, there is no more interaction with Lazarus. I want you to notice that. There is no more doing with Lazarus. We see no actions from him. We don't have him at the gate no more. We don't have him with sores no more. He simply is in the bosom of Abraham being comforted. And in hell, the one that experienced comfort on earth and yet didn't have a heart towards God. In hell, and in the torments of the flame, he looks and beholds Lazarus as he is in comfort. And how sad it is that someone could be so neglectful and be called in such ease that when dying time comes, that he's left undone, that he's left without salvation and in hell. That hell that I have heard from since I was a kid in this pulpit, preached in camp meeting after camp meeting after camp meeting, that's gone out across this building and has warned men of souls. That same hell is just as real this evening as it was when this story was told. We need to turn and tune our ear, if we could, to the mouth of hell and listen to what is being said. I preach this message tonight. It's not really comfortable to preach, knowing that I got pretty brash with you last night. But oh, to God, that I would be so puny and not preach this and somebody turn around and walk away without being warned at least one more time. Would you turn with me tonight and turn an ear to the mouth of hell? and listen what comes forth. We understand that if we would listen, we would hear the screams of torment. We would hear voices that seems as they are falling. We would hear the gnashing of teeth. We could hear just multiple screams of torment. All because someone decided to walk around the cross instead of bow at it. We look at this picture tonight and we tune our ear towards hell. And we listen as the rich man begins to make conversation with Father Abraham. There is one acknowledgement. The very first words that's coming from his mouth is that he proclaims, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Let me tell you something, people that's listening to me, young people, old people alike, that just as sure as these lights are on in the building, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And we will be going to one or the other. You understand that when God created this earth, created the elements of the earth, that God's plan was put into place. That the spiritual part of man that is just as eternal as God is, his soul, that there was destinations, that there would be a heaven or there would be a hell. And for those that chose God and those that love him, there is one that has gone away from here. His name is Christ, that has gone to prepare the mansions for us. But what about the soul that is not moved with the story of the cross? What about the souls that is hard against the convicting hand of God? What about the soul that hears the message of God but turns around and walks away from it? What about the soul that cares nothing of the pain and agony of Calvary? What about the soul that maybe not through words, but through action says, God, I don't care the price you've paid. What about the soul that is so full of themselves with their own will and their own way that mercy has reached over and over and over again, but there is no response? There has to be somewhere that soul will spend eternity, and that place will be hell. That place will be torment. That place will be of sorrow. That place will be of separation. Let me stop here and let you know that it's not the will of God that any man feels the pains of hell. It's not the will of God that there's any voice lifted in agony. It's not the will of God that there's any gnashing of teeth. But when men and women make the choice to refuse God, there is nowhere else for men and women like that to go but to go to hell. There is people who use the word so carelessly. They get angry with one another and point their fingers at each other and say, go to hell. But hell is so horrible that I wouldn't want my dog to go there. Hell is so bad that I don't want the worst criminal to go there. Hell is so terrible that I wouldn't want the worst of the worst to go there, because there is no closure. There is no end. There is no stopping. It's just a continual fall. Preacher, are you trying to scare me tonight? No, scared religion is no good. But I'm only preach you a half gospel if I only preach you the love of Christ and not warn you where you are headed if you don't turn from your sin. And so the voice from hell lifts up, and the very request that comes is mercy. Have mercy on me. We understand that God is a God of mercy. we understand that because of mercy, I'm able to hold this microphone this evening and preach. Because of mercy, we find safety as we travel to camp meeting. The psalmist said that God's mercy endures forever. But what happens when forever is over? What happens when time shall be no more? What happens then? It will be the place that God's mercy no longer reaches, because mama's prayers will not go to hell and pull you out. The man of God that has prayed for you and tried to pastor you, his prayers will not go past the point of hell and pull you out. The weeping cries of a praying dad will not go to the flames of hell and pull you out. I beckon you tonight to listen to the voice that screams from hell and says, have mercy on me. But if you allow yourself to get to that point, you have crossed the line of mercy. Oh God. We look at this tonight. You understand the agonies and the torments of hell is so intense that there is such an emphasis and such a value put on one drop of water. You would think that someone that's in torments of flames would say, send it down by the bucket loads. Send it down by the barrel loads. But the torments of hell is such a torment that the request is not for even a small cup. But would you let Lazarus just dip his finger in water and touch my tongue to get relief from this torment? It almost sounds mythical what I'm telling you. It's something we know about. It's something in the past we heard preached a lot. It almost sounds mythical, but it's not. It will be reality. It will happen. It's going to happen. But I'm trying to warn you on this side of it to turn from the way that you're going. Take heed to the screams. Take heed to the warnings. Take heed to what you're listening to. Take heed to what I'm trying to preach to you. There is no one, there is no thing that is worth going to hell over. We listen to the voice that comes from hell. It screams and begs for mercy. It asks for escape. But there is no escape. But if you can just have relief with one drop of water, but there is no relief from one drop of water. Oh, hell is horrible. Hell is terrible. Listen to me, I believe in preaching hope, and I preach hope. I believe in preaching the love of Christ, and I preach the love of Christ. I believe in the mercies of the Lord, and I preach the mercies of the Lord. But today, I've prayed for this service. Today, I've prayed for this meeting, and I feel like again, I don't know what tomorrow night it will be. But again, I had to come to you with warning. Again, I had to come to you beckoning you to turn from the way that you're going, to turn around from the way that you're headed. Mercy, but no mercy to be had. Relief, but no relief to have. What's tormenting about hell is the psychological part of it. If there was no flames, if there was no falling and no brimstone and no gnashing of teeth, it's the separation from the God of mercy. That God that you may not be serving, but if something goes wrong, you call mama to pray about it. But there will be no more, because there's a great gulf fixed between someone that is in hell and someone that has made heaven their home. That man in hell could see what was going on over there. That man could see Lazarus over there. But Lazarus made no comment of seeing the man in hell. Let me tell you something. What's worse than just being in hell is to know that you had the opportunity not to be there and you didn't seize the moment. If it was something that you could not help or you didn't have a choice about it, that would be one thing. But if you're able to remember, if you're able to remember, because Abraham begins to speak to the man in hell and says, remember that back there you had it good and Lazarus had it evil. And now he's comforted and you are in torment. He tells that man to remember what it was like in life. He tells him to remember what it was like when it was still carnal. He asked him to remember what it was like when he still had opportunity. How horrible it would be to go to hell past this camp meeting and be able to remember the songs that were sung. To remember that Brother Justin preached about having the power and had the opportunity to get it. To hear the song sung. And to hear the pleading and warnings of a preacher. Not to go to hell. How horrible it would be to be tormented in those flames. And remember that you did have opportunity. How terrible it would be to hear your pastor's sermons preached all over again in the flames. How horrible it would be to remember all the services that you passed up because you refused to bow or bend to God, but now you remember and only can remember. Tonight, I beckon you to listen to the voice of that man as he screams in hell. Listen to what he's trying to say. Listen to what he's trying to escape. Listen, when he has concluded that number one, there is no mercy, that number two, there is no drop of water, and number three, that there is a great separation between him and God, that alone would be horrible. That would be horrible. Then he starts remembering again. He starts remembering again. And he goes to thinking about his family. He starts remembering his family. And he remembers the five brothers. Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus back to preach to them and to let them know to don't come where I am. Don't come where I am. Don't make the mistake I made. Don't resist the Spirit of God like I resisted the Spirit of God. Don't bypass it like I bypassed it. Don't brush it off like I brushed it off. This is so horrible. Please raise somebody from the dead and send them to my father's house and tell my brothers, don't come here. Don't come here. Listen, can you hear the plea in the voice from hell? Can you hear the sorrows in the voice of hell? Can you hear the torments in the voice from hell? I don't want nobody else to come here. But Father Abraham continues his dialogue between himself and that rich man. And he says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He says, they're being warned already. They have been told already. But undoubtedly, knowing his brothers, please, they will repent if you raise somebody from the dead. It's the moment of extremities. It's the moments of going as far as it will go. Would you go to the place to make a shock in all appearance to my brothers? Raise him from the dead. They remember him sitting at my gate. They probably remember him eating crumbs from my table. Go warn them. Go warn them. Raise him from the dead. But they have the same opportunity you got. They got Moses and the prophets. Oh, God. But undoubtedly the hearts of those five brothers is just as hard as he is. Because it says if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they listen, though one be raised from the dead. I am afraid that's what I'm dealing with in this sermon tonight. As I push with everything I can to even preach this thing. Listen. 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 What is that voice telling you? What is the voice telling you? What is it saying? It's saying I'm in torment. If I could have someone on the piano. And I'm here to plead with you. Don't you go. Don't you go. While there's mercy, you take mercy. Stop you backing up. Stop you building up your walls. Listen to the voice that is coming from hell. Listen. You don't have to be the same story. You don't have to go down the same route. Just listen and learn from somebody that did. Would you stand? Oh, God. Tonight again. I open the altar while mercy still flows tonight. You go into one or the other, and it's your choice of which you go to. God doesn't send people to hell. People choose to go to hell. You hear what I said? God doesn't send people to hell. People choose us to go. If there is any doubt in my mind, if there was any shadow of a doubt about my salvation, I would hit this altar tonight. I don't preach hell messages very often. but I felt like I had to preach it tonight. Would you seek God tonight? Would you seek God tonight? Would you slow down enough to listen? The voice of the rich man is it's in agony, and his voice is lifted from the scriptures to us. You got to know that you know that you know you're ready to go. You need it like the old folks used to tell us. You need a know-so experience. And if there's any question about it, I would hit the altar tonight. I don't feel like messages like this is laid on preacher's heart for no reason. You need to take this opportunity. If there's any question about it, if there's hidden sin in your life that you're covering up with a good standard on the outside, if there's hidden sin that nobody knows about that you got good and covered up with a good standard on the outside, hell is such a serious matter, I'd come on and pray about that thing. I'd pay attention to the voice that's coming from hell tonight. Let me tell you something. When you consider the flames of hell, a little pride to walk to the altar is so minute. Because none of us know that if this service we'll ever see the end of it. We don't know if we'll see the sun completely set tonight. And when you consider the seriousness of hell, I would pray about it if there was any question. Any others want to make a special effort towards God before I give a general altar call? Quickly. All right, if we could come in for a season of prayer. Those that are seeking God, let's pray with them.